Today, I want to talk to you about staying blessed. I ask you that every week, how many are blessed? And we respond, and I know we are blessed, but I want to stay blessed in this staycation. I want to stay filled, and I want to stay blessed. And this is important because I believe that the times we are living in demand sound teaching. The times we're living in demand sound teaching because there is a genuine fear right now. A genuine fear surrounding money. You've heard it all last week. The stock market is going crazy. Gas prices have officially hit $5 a gallon. We may be just under that in Georgia only because they have suspended the gas tax, which is about 30 cents a gallon. So whatever you see on the sign, I think they have the gas tax suspended into July. Whether or not that's going to continue, we know it will not continue always because it's costing the state about $1 billion a month, I think, or $160 million. I can't remember exactly what the number is. When you get up that high, it seems like it's all the same, but it's a lot of money that it is costing the state every single month to suspend the gas tax. So we know that's not forever, but here we are feeling these gas prices, and then they talk about inflation, and we don't always know what those terms mean, and all of this is politicized on both sides, and everyone is blaming the other, and you and I are the ones who are paying the higher cost, and all of that is felt. And then there are supply issues and baby formula issues. All of these things are happening, and guess what? Every single one of them are out of my control. They're all out of our control. I can't do anything about gas prices. I've tried to talk to the gas station attendant. Can you please lower this today? Are you going to put gas on sale? Is there going to be a discount? Is there any chance you're going to run a 30% off sale? No, that's what the price is, and it's going up every single day. It is out of our control. Can't control the stock market. You're probably watching your 401k just seem as though it's on a roller coaster, and seems like right now we're on that long downward hill that just takes your stomach and takes your breath and just makes you fear for everything going on around you. All of those things are out of our control. The one thing we can control is our faithfulness in this season. It's the one thing I can control. I can't control what they're doing. I can't control what they're saying. The only thing I can control is my faithfulness in this season. So I want to talk to you today about faithfulness. I'm going to talk to you today about money a little bit and about staying blessed. How do I stay blessed? I know that always makes people a little bit nervous, but I don't want you to be nervous today because this is a good thing. Nobody's in trouble. We're not in trouble as a church. I want to know, how can I stay blessed in this season? I want to read Malachi chapter 3 today. If you want to turn there in your Bible or make note of that or pull it up on your device or even watch the screen with me today as I read this. Malachi chapter 3, beginning at verse number 6. I, the Lord, do not change. Times change, but the Lord does not change. Seasons change, but the Lord does not change. There are lean times and blessed times, but I, the Lord, do not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. Father, bless your word today as we teach and as we talk and as we just work through this crazy season that we are living in. I pray that you would speak to us in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. So why talk about the tithe? As I mentioned a moment ago, there is this financial craziness in the world. And the way to combat craziness is with truth. The way to deal with fear is to teach truth. The truth is, money is a pressure point in all of our lives. If it's not currently, then it certainly has been. And I can almost guarantee you that money will be a pressure point again at some point in your life. But God has this very specific plan. He has these very specific instructions in Scripture about how we should worship with our resources. Because you know what? Everything that I have belongs to Him. Everything that I own, everything that is quote unquote in my name, everything that is attached to me. Whenever you look at the net worth of Daryl Hooper, and it's not much, but whatever you think is attached to me, it all belongs to Him. And the sooner we come to terms with that, the sooner we realize that it's all His anyway, it makes it a lot easier to give to Him what belongs to Him in the first place. And this is important, because every single time, the last time I did any financial teaching, if today is your first time to be with us, this is not something we do often. The last time I taught on this was back in November of last year. So this is not an every Sunday kind of teaching. But every single time I teach on this subject, there are always people who say, I've never heard that. I've never heard that concept. I've never understood that. Or I've heard those terms thrown about in church, but I've never really understood what they meant. And so I know this has been on my heart the last couple of weeks, and I always argue with God about teaching on finance, because it makes us uncomfortable. We don't like this subject. It just kind of gets in our business. But I kept hearing the Lord speak into my spirit, with all of the craziness that's going on, I want you to teach truth. With all of the uncertainty that's happening, I want you to teach what is certain. With all of the chaos going on, I want you to teach about the consistency of my word, that if we will be faithful, if we will do what God has asked us to do, then my people are going to sail right through this season season unharmed and unscathed and not affected because we are in covenant with the Lord. Does anybody believe that today? Is anyone trusting in that today? Is anyone depending on that today? Does anybody want to know how to get involved in that today so that you too can live this blessed life? So I want to go back to the beginning. I'm going to teach a bit today and just kind of walk through the word and show you the truth of this. Go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. You have the story of Adam and Eve, and you have the tree that is in the middle of the garden. And essentially, God says to them, the garden is yours. You can name all of the animals. You can completely rule the garden. But this one tree belongs to me. You are not supposed to touch this tree. You're not supposed to eat from this tree. You need to leave this tree alone. Tell me this. Why do we always want what belongs to someone else? Why are we always tempted to mess with the thing that we have been told not to mess with? But what we learn in Genesis chapter 3 is that God has a portion and he takes his portion seriously. God has a portion. And then you go one chapter beyond that to Genesis 4 and you meet Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel are the children, the sons of Adam and Eve. Cain is a farmer. Abel is a shepherd. God asked both of them for an offering. Abel comes quickly with the firstborn of his flock. But Genesis 4 says of Cain, in the course of time, Cain brings an offering. You see two very different approaches to giving. Two different attitudes toward generosity. Abel comes quickly with the first of his flock, and in the course of time, Cain says, let me get all this other stuff paid and see what I have left over. Let me make sure I've got enough. Let me take care of this and take care of that and get this solved and get this taken care of and do this and do that. And then out of whatever is left over in the course of time, Cain brings an offering. And you know what? God didn't bless it. And Cain gets angry. And because of Cain's anger, he kills his brother Abel. So what we learn in Genesis 4 is that God's portion is the first portion. Genesis chapter 3 says God has a portion. Genesis 4, God's portion is the first portion. You jump about 10 chapters into the book of Genesis, Genesis 14, and you meet Abraham and Melchizedek. Abraham is on his faith journey. He's growing in the blessings of God. He's amassing wealth in his life as he acquires land and livestock, and all of these things are coming into his life, and he meets Melchizedek along the way. I know that's a weird name. It's an Old Testament, long ago name, but Abraham perceives Melchizedek to be a holy man. In fact, Hebrews would tell us that Melchizedek is a type of Christ. I'm teaching. If you're taking notes, write some of this down because it'll help you. We're going somewhere today. Melchizedek is a type of Christ. Abraham perceives that he is a holy man. He is a high priest. And so the Bible says that Abraham gives a tenth of all that he has to Melchizedek. He gives him a tithe. This is the first time we see this word in the scripture. Genesis 14, the word tithe, which means tenth. It is literally a math word. It is an arithmetic word. It just means tenth. This is before the law is given on Mount Sinai. This is before any of that happens. Abraham is tithing to Melchizedek. So we see in Genesis 3 that God has a portion. We see in Genesis 4 that God's portion is the first portion. Genesis 14, God's portion is the tithe, or it is a tenth. Jump another 14 chapters to Genesis 28 and you meet Jacob. Jacob is at Bethel. He's soon going to become Israel, and God is doing a wonderful work in his life, but he is wrestling with God on this particular night. He's running from his brother, and that's a long story in and all that's happened, the drama that's gone on between these brothers and all that has happened in his house. But he lays down to go to sleep there on a rock, and he has a vision. And when he comes out of this vision, seeing this ladder that is ascending and angels that are going from earth to heaven, when he comes out of this vision, he says, "This is the house of God. Beth, house of El. This is Bethel, house of God. I will tithe here." So we see that God has a portion. We see that God's portion is the first portion. We see that God's portion is the tithe. And then we see that this portion, this tithe, is tied to the house of God. Leviticus 27 and 30, Moses includes the tithe into the law. He puts the command, he puts the obligation, he puts the responsibility into plain language. And then that brings us full circle to Malachi. What took us just a few moments to walk through the word, it just takes us a few moments to recount some scriptures and some verses and some chapters in history, but it's actually many, many, many years in the making. Many years of God's people doing good. Many years of God's people struggling. Many ups and many downs and everything in between. God's people are on track, then God's people are off track, and he would send a prophet, he would send a word, he would send help, he would send a revival, he would send reminders to help them get back on track. You say, "But Pastor, that's all in the Old Testament." Absolutely it is. That's correct. But the tithe was before the law. It's absolutely still applicable in our lives. But if you need New Testament, let me tell you about Jesus' words in Matthew 23 and 23. The Pharisees are trying to trap him again. They're trying to put him in a corner. And Jesus' response to them, he said, you gave a tenth. You are tithers, but you neglected justice, mercy, and faithfulness." And Jesus said, "You should have done both. You ought to be a tither. Don't neglect that, but also be people of justice, mercy, and faithfulness." What about Acts 4? The Bible actually says that their giving exceeded the giving of the Old Testament. They sold everything, and laid it at the apostles' feet. Not because they wanted the apostles to get rich. They were saying, "Here, take this, do something with it. Win these cities. Get whatever we need to get. Let's build a church." And then Hebrews 7, I love Hebrews 7. You ought to study this in your devotion time this week. The Bible says that we tithe to Jesus. Abraham tithed to Melchizedek. That's what Hebrews says. But we have better than Melchizedek. We have Jesus. We have the work of God. We have his house. Is anybody thankful for the plan of God in our lives? So a walk through the word helps us to see the tithe before, during, and after the law, because the principle is established. It wasn't man's idea, but God's idea. This isn't a preacher trying to enrich himself. This is God's plan to stay blessed. I don't want to allow the enemy to cheat me. I've seen scandal on TV. I've read the reports in the news of people who abused and people who misused and all kind of craziness. But I refuse to allow that to cheat me out of God's goodness in my life, especially in this crazy, chaotic season. I want to make sure that my life is rooted in the Word of God and that I am established in this covenant with the Lord, and I can stay blessed. So let me tell you about Malachi chapter 3. Verse number 6, I, the Lord, do not change. And because I do not change, you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. He said, you've done some stuff that probably would find you deserving of destruction. You've messed up enough. You've made enough mistakes, and haven't we all? Haven't we all fumbled the ball in the game of life so many times? Haven't we all made so many mistakes? But yet he said, I'm not changing. I'm not going to allow you to be destroyed. So the first point I want to make to you today is that when I give, it's all about gratitude. I'm giving because I am thankful. It's all about gratitude. Can I just pause a moment to just remind all of us that God has been good to us? What if you survey your life today? Sure, there's one or two irritants right now. There's some things going on that you wish would change, you wish were not happening, things that if you could fix them or if you could snap a finger and all of that, yes, absolutely. And what is it about us that we want to focus only on those one or two irritants, and those are the things that get the best of our attention, and we don't realize that there's 98 other positive, wonderful, incredible, and awesome things that are going on in our lives. You know what I'm going to do this week? I'm going to focus on the 98 things and let the two other things just resolve themselves. I'm going to focus on the goodness of God. I'm not going to focus on the negative. Why? Because God is the giver and the sustainer of life. He is our provider. He is our protector. He is our savior. He is our hope of heaven. I'm no longer consumed in my sin, nor am I condemned by my sin. You see, in the Old Testament, giving was always tied to a celebration. And guess what? God still loves a cheerful giver. I'm giving because God has been good to me. I'm preaching good. It's all about gratitude. Let me tell you another verse, Malachi 3 and 7. Ever since the time of your ancestors, he said, you've turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? He said, this is what happens. You have a season where you're doing good and you're just walking according to my word, and then all of a sudden the wheels come off. I don't know what happens. You get overwhelmed with doubt. You get in a fearful season, or maybe you start listening to the news too closely or following what man is saying, and you get your eyes off of the prize, and then you start losing out when it comes to my decrees and my principles. Because in spite of how good God is to the people of Israel, they keep turning from his statutes and not keeping them. The truth is, you and I have the same tendency. We have the same struggle in our lives. We acknowledge the goodness of God, and yet we still neglect what he wants from us. So let me give you the second point. It's all about the heart. I promise you, it's not about your money. I promise you, it's not about your resource. It's all about your heart. And when we get our hearts set on the things of God, there is this call to return. I believe we've been hearing this call since about March 2020, when all of this pandemic foolishness started. We've been feeling and hearing this call to return to basics, return to decrees, return to the principles of God's word. How do we return? We return by going back to his statutes, by doing what he has asked us to do. Because the truth is, a person who does not do what God says is a person who is far from God. If I'm not being obedient to his word, then I'm disconnected. I'm not where I am supposed to be. But look at verses 8 and 9, Malachi chapter 3. Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me? And you ask, how are we robbing you? He says, in tithe and offering. You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Now, understandably, this is the most offensive portion of this text. It's off-putting. This is why we don't like to hear about this, because wait a minute, I'm what? I'm robbing? What do you mean? No. That's not my heart. That's not my attitude. That's not where I am. And I understand that. I understand that it's off-putting. I understand that it is offensive, and yet it is still the word of God, and we have to teach. Because no one who is unfaithful in their giving believes this to be true about themselves. I had a friend many years ago, pastor friend, who was teaching and decided to use an illustration in the middle of the teaching. You can't do this in 2022. But while he was teaching, men stormed into the back door with masks on, guns, dressed in all black, all stereotypical, you know, robbers, came into the building while he's teaching and began robbing people. Now, if they did this in 2022, they would probably get shot before they ever got through the front door. I don't say that flippantly, but we have security. This is a real deal, and you gotta be careful. But that's how they illustrated the sermon that night, and people were like, "What in the world? Oh my! I mean, just afraid. We would never do this. I don't condone that. But just let me tell this good story because it makes for good preaching today. Because there is a difference in something being stolen and being robbed. My sister worked at a little retail store when she was, I don't know, 16, 17 years of age, and she was robbed at gunpoint. I will never forget. I'm 5 years younger than she is, so I was just a young guy, but I remember the trauma in our house. I remember the fear. I remember her waking up just scared out of her mind because a gun had been put in her face. It's one thing to have something taken from you, and you spend a few days saying, where did that go? Did I lose that? I mean, you're not quite sure, and then you just resolve that you lost it. But for someone to rob you, for someone to come and put a gun, for someone to just come take something out of your hand or take something out of your purse while you're sitting there, I mean, that's an entire different thing. So how is it that we can rob God? That's impossible. How am I robbing him? Let me tell you why. It's the third point. It's because it's all his. It's all his. And I know it's why this sounds offensive and it's off-putting, because I would never look at it in the light that I am robbing God. But let me give you some truth today. The tithe doesn't become his when we give it. The tithe is his when we get it. Sit with that just a moment. Think about that for just a moment. It doesn't become the tithe when I get to church and, oh, do I have my checkbook, or what's that digital thing, or how do I get on that app? Let me figure out what the... It doesn't become the tithe when I give it. It belongs to him when I get it. He gives me the power to get wealth. He gives me the power to earn it. It is his to belong, to begin with. Our thinking is, well, this will be my tithe. No, it already is the tithe. The difference is whether or not I'm going to bring it to him. Whether I am going to give to him what belongs to him. And so, if I'm sending his tithe somewhere else or to someone else, he says, you're robbing me. And there's a consequence. He said, you are under a curse. Pastor, that's such strong teaching. I understand. I told you, it's off-putting and it's offensive, and we don't like to hear this. And so he begins to give them some hope. Let me tell you what you can do, because no one wants to be under a curse, and no one wants to be accused of robbing God. So let me tell you how to fix this. Malachi 3 and 10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Bring the whole tithe. I remember years ago in Texas, we started a church, and I don't know if PK's ever been more mad at me as a pastor than me teaching. And I used to be really nervous about teaching about money, just starting a young church and trying to teach people the word. I'm not nervous about it anymore. I'm happy to teach this and feel good in God right now, because I know I'm helping people, and God's word is building people and making a difference in people's lives. But I was teaching, and my heart was right, because I was trying to help people that were at zero get started somewhere. People that were at zero, just get started somewhere. And so I said, listen, if you can't do 10%, then give 3%, give 5%. We were on the way to lunch, and Kristen said, what in the world is wrong with you? You don't have permission to tell people to tithe less than what the word says. I never will forget, there was a lady who gave faithful every single week her tithe. All of a sudden, her giving went down. Because she felt permission all of a sudden. The pastor said, I could give half of my tithe. I don't have any permission to discount the tithe. I can't tell you that tithe means anything less than tithe. That's why people that come and say, well, I'm going to throw a $10 bill, or I'm going to wad up a $20 bill, and I feel real good because I'm tithing. I don't know if that's tithe in your life or not. I don't know what you make. I don't know what anybody makes. All I can tell you is that if it's a tithe, then it's going to equal that 10% of where you are. You say, Pastor, don't be legalistic about this. It's not a legalistic thing. It's a blessing thing. I'm not trying to get calculators out and figure this and figure that. I just know that I do not want to be under a curse. I don't want to stand at the gas pump scared out of my mind how I'm going to make it through this season. I want to stand there in faith. I want to stand there in confidence. I want to stand there boldly saying, I don't like it. I don't know how it's all going to work out, but I know in whom I have believed. I know that if it's God's will, then it's God's bill, and he has to take care of it, because I am in covenant with him. Is anybody else glad? And you know you want to stay blessed. So bring the whole tithe. He said, bring it to your church, not TV preachers, not orphanages. Bring it to your church so that there may be food in your house. Food in the house, it was indicative. It meant a strong house. Make sure that your house is strong. Bring the tithe, and we're going to make sure money goes out, money goes out, money goes out, money goes out. My pastor years ago was telling me about a man coming to the church. He was a new man. No one knew who he was. But he was writing these large checks every week. There would just be these huge checks, thousands and thousands of dollars every single week. They're trying to figure out who is this guy? We don't know who Billy Bob is. Who is Billy Bob? That's, you know, every week it's a $10,000 or $15,000 or $20,000 check. What in the world is going on? Who is this person? And no one knew who he was. And one day the office called and said that there's another check from Billy Bob, and it's a large check, but it wasn't just that check. There was a check in there for James Dobson, and there was a check in there for Compassion International. There was a check in there for these different ministries. And so my pastor thought, well, this is my opportunity to make a connection and find out who this is. And he was telling me this story, just giving some wisdom from my pastor to one of his sons, and said, I just wanted to call because I think maybe you got your envelopes mixed up, and maybe, you know, something isn't quite right. We wanted to see how we could resolve that, or what you wanted us to do with these other checks. And the man on the other end of the line said, well, I thought that was a big enough operation that you could get those checks where they needed to go. My pastor said, I knew. I'll never make that mistake again. He said, I'm bringing all of this to the storehouse, and then I'm going to trust the house to get that where it needs to go. That's why we're giving to missions around the world. That's why a portion of every single dollar that you give is going to missions, and we're making a difference in orphanages, and we're making a difference in Israel, and we're making a difference in places right here local, and different things that we're trying to help people, as well as feeding dozens and dozens of people every single week, trying to make a difference in our community. So I'm going to keep tithing. I'm going to stay faithful to the house of God. And my house, we're not just putting it into somebody's pocket. No, we're making a difference. We want to be a blessing to our community. So if I tithe, if I'm faithful, God gets the glory everywhere else. He said, bring it. And then he said, test me in this. Test me in this. I want you to put me to the test. All throughout the Word of God, we're told not to question. We're told not to argue. We're told to trust God. But when it comes to generosity, when it comes to the tithe, he said, I want you to put me to the test. I want you to test me. I want you to test me. You know why? Because it's all about him. This is not about the pastor. This is not about the church. This is not even about money. This is about my heart. And it's about God's ability to bless our lives. He gives a guarantee that when you tithe, the response is going to be blessing in your life. All I have is a testimony, but God has a guarantee for you. He has a guarantee that if you are faithful to him, he will be faithful to you. I only have a testimony, but God has a promise. What do you want? What do you want in this season? You want a promise from God? That's what I want. I want a promise from God that everything is going to be all right, that everything is going to work. Whose word is better in this season, a politician's or God's? I'm going to take the word of God all day long. What's better, chaos everywhere or being sheltered in the arms of God, protected in the palm of his hand? Let me finish the chapter, verses 11 and 12. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe. Then, verse 12, all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. See, I want that kind of favor on my life. I want that kind of favor on my home. Want that kind of favor. What does it mean, Pastor Darrell, that the devourer? I'll tell you what happened this week. You know, we moved into a home. June 4th was 2 years ago. home warranty's long since passed. We knew something wasn't quite right in our master shower. And we've had them come look, and everybody's punted the ball. Everyone said, no, no, not us. We didn't do this, and we didn't do that. And here the deadline comes and goes. We're more than a year out from our warranty, lived in the house for 2 years, and we have this leak happening in our master shower, and now it's come through in our garage. And man, PK was just, no, I'm not standing for this. Something's got to be done. I don't know what we're gonna do. And I'm starting to talk to contractors and get advice. And I know, you know, this is a major deal. We gotta resolve this. And I was at work. Kristen was at home when the man came. And as soon as he walked in and looked at it, he said, yeah, this wasn't right. No, this wasn't right. He said, we're going to take care of this 100%. 100%. All of this is going to be taken care of. And now, my master shower is completely torn out. The flooring's torn out. All of the tile is gone. Everything is ripped out. We got to wait another week or so until tile comes in. But everything is going to be fixed 100%. Everything is going to be taken care of. And guess what? It's not going to cost me $1. Why? Because God said, I'm going to make sure that you are not devoured. You say, Pastor, does that mean that you don't have any bills? No, I got a bunch. That doesn't mean that everything gets paid. But I can. Every time I walk through my bedroom, into the master bath, and into my closet, I just look over and say, that's the blessing of the Lord. That's the favor of God. Because I'm looking at a repair that would have been thousands and thousands of dollars. But guess what? I'm not even looking for a quarter. I'm not even trying to find a penny to scrape together. Why? Because it's the faithfulness of God. And people that are not faithful, they have things happening in their lives, and they're just getting more and more angry and more upset. More and more bitter. Why does all of this happen to me? And why every time I turn around, it's something breaking down, it's something falling apart, someone not acting right. What in the world is going on? Why doesn't God love me? It's not a matter of God loving you. He's been trying to get you to return. Return, return. Get out from under that curse. Because it's a better life. Favor on your life. Favor on your family. Favor on your home. Living under the promise of God. It's a better life. But I realize when I teach this message, there's always three people in the room. Always three people. First of all, there are tithers in the room. People that have amen while I've been teaching because they've proven it in their life. They know it to be true. My message to every tither in this room is be encouraged. Be encouraged. Whatever happens in this crazy economy, you have the promise of God to meet your needs and to rebuke the devourer from your life. But also in this room are non-tithers. My message to non-tithers, be encouraged. Be encouraged. Because you can begin the journey of tithing today. You can begin a journey of obedience today. A journey of handling your finances in a way that honors God. It's never too late. Never too late. Don't live under guilt or condemnation or, man, I did this or I did. No, get out from under that and just do what God. Return. Return. Do what Malachi said. Return. And the third person, and probably the one most awkward, is the former tither. They're the most defensive. Don't be. Because my message is the same to you today. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Because this book was written for you. He wrote it. Just return to me and I will return to you. Make a decision today. You know what? I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be faithful in this crazy season. I'm going to be faithful to God. Father, I pray today for all three of those people today, whether it's tithers in the room or people who have never lived by your plan. They've never understood it, never known exactly what it was you were asking them to do. I pray for people today who have fallen away. Life has happened, one thing after another, and we get distracted, and like the people of Israel, we leave your decrees and we leave your laws. Thank you, Lord, for calling all of us to remain faithful in this season. Thank you for helping all of us to understand the power of consistency, the power of faithful living, the power of on-purpose living. Lord, make the difference in our lives. I pray we could look at the gas pump. We could just speak. Speak Jesus instead of the cursing. Speak faith instead of fear. To declare your goodness and your prospering instead of the pain and the problem. In Jesus' name, I'm going to have a different attitude toward this season that we're in. I'm going to have an attitude of faith, thanksgiving, an attitude of gratitude and faithfulness in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be in this room today saying, you know what, Pastor Darrell, I'm not where I need to be. I know you're teaching on finance today, but I'm not where I need to be. I'm not living for God the way that He has called me and asked me to live for God. You know what? You can return today. You can return. How do I do that? Repent. Say, Lord, I need to get right. I need to make a change in my life. That's what repentance means. It is a U-turn. It is an about face. You're heading in one direction, you repent, and all of a sudden you're going in another direction. Maybe you need a brand new direction in your life today. How do I get that? You pray, you ask God. I'd love to pray with you. I'd love to lead you in that today. It's the first step of many steps, but it is an important step. Saying yes to God. One more time, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're in this room today and you're ready to make that decision, you're ready to make that choice, pray with me today. Say, Jesus, I repent of my sin. Today I turn. Today I choose another direction. Today I reject the ways of the world. And I accept the wisdom of God. Today I say no to my will. I say yes to your will. No to my plans. Yes to your plan for my life. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for setting me free. Thank you for changing my life. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Can we give the Lord a hand today for people saying yes? Thank you, Lord. If you prayed that with us today, there's Following Jesus books on either side of this auditorium, yes banner, or you can text the word follow to 404-777-4701. You'll get a link back. We need your email address in that link. In just a few moments, you'll have this book delivered right to your smartphone. You can read it right there on your phone, your device if you want. Amen. If you're online, text the word follow, 404-777-4701. Amen. You're going to stay blessed. You're going to stay blessed. Fill me up. Is that where we are?
Till I overflow. I want to run over. I want to run over.
Say, fill me up.
Till I overflow.
I'd love to believe God with you today for your miracle in your life. If you're going to Discover Church, we're going to meet you in the cafe in just a few moments. If you got time and want to worship with us today for just a moment.
Till I overflow, I want to run over.